Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Joshua this morning. Chapter number 1 in the book of Joshua. We are in the first Sunday of the new year, 2015. It's going to take us a little while to get used to signing our checks, writing 2015 on them, you know, instead of 2014. I had to write one this morning, and I did do that. I did the right date. New year. I still remember when Y2K happened. I was here as pastor, year 2000. The media hype centered around that year got a lot of folks afraid. It is what we don't know that causes us to fear a lot of times. Anticipation. Expectation. The not knowing. And so some of the media took advantage of people and you know, got folks to buy things they normally probably wouldn't buy. A lot of folks made precautions with emergency supplies. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. I told folks if it makes you feel better to have a generator and some batteries and a flashlight and some emergency food, and you could probably use that in a storm anyway. So that's nothing wrong with preparing that way. Some churches did that also, thinking the whole world was going to shut down, you know, with computers. They didn't know if computers could roll over to the year 2000, if the grid would work, all that kind of stuff. Invasion from Mars, you know, I mean, there was all kind of thinking going on with Y2K. And some went out and bought cabins in the mountains and bought guns and ammo and all that kind of stuff, you know. And a lot of that was generated by fear. It's not wrong to prepare for emergencies. Not wrong to have preparations for things that you're going to face in life. But God's Word gives us some ideas here about facing the unknown. Facing a new year as we are, not knowing what's going to take place in this year. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying," the word minister there means the same thing as servant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, upon even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let us pray. Lord, as we look into your word, I ask that you'll guide what I say to be a help and a blessing to your people. Strengthen us for what we face in life. Equip us so that we are prepared. And Lord, protect us and hedge us about. And then, Lord, if there's anyone unsaved who hears the message today, we pray for them to understand the gospel message of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection to pay for their sins, and they can have life eternal by faith in him. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, Joshua is now taking charge of the nation of Israel, and they are ready to cross into Jordan, where they came 40 years prior. Joshua and Caleb went into the land, came back as spies with 12 of them, and said, "We can take the land, we can do what God told us to do." But 10 of the spies were afraid. They were afraid because of what they saw, the giants that lived in the land, walled cities in the land. They were afraid they couldn't do what God told them to do. So God sent them back out in the wilderness for 40 years until all that generation died off except for Joshua and Caleb. They were faithful. God blessed them with longevity. They were obedient to God. God blessed them in becoming leaders of the nation of Israel. And now God wants them to take the people into Canaan. We have to remember as we face 2015, God is with us. In the same way He was with Moses and Joshua, He has promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. God is with us. Sometimes we feel His presence in a very strong way, and other times we do not. Sometimes we know without any doubt in our mind we're saved and we're walking with God, and then there's times where we kind of feel like we're just out there all alone, like our prayers are routine and we're not in communication with the Lord. And so we struggle with that sometimes, and that's where we have to go back to the Word of God and believe God's promise that He is with us, that He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. He is keeping us by His power, and Christ said He will present us faultless before the throne of God. So we have to remember that when we face the unknown and the difficulties like a new year. We also have to be strong and courageous. We need to be strong in the faith. We need to have courage based upon the promises of God to obey God and do what He has commanded us to do. We have to study the Word and meditate on the Scriptures, thinking about what God has taught us. And if we do that, like Joshua, God has promised to make our way prosperous and have good success. I think everybody wants to be prosperous and have good success. How that level is gauged, it depends on what you compare it with and what your expectations are. God's expectations are to bless us and provide for us and supply all of our needs and protect us. And He's promised to do those things if we do what Joshua was doing. Obey God, study His Word, be found faithful. Verse 10 and 11 in chapter 1. It's not wrong to make preparations. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host. Command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess." So there was some preparation for the journey, some preparations to be made. And there are often preparations in preparing for facing a new year, facing a new part of your life. You graduated from high school, you're going to college, there are preparations that need to be made. There are preparations for parents to make with their children as we face the stages of life. In 2015, some of you will face some of those things that you need to make preparation for. As we come into a new year, the first thing we do is we take a look back. We've just finished 2014. We were in Georgetown riding down the road. My 6-year-old grandson was in the car with us. He wanted to go to Subway and get a meatball sub. I don't eat that kind of stuff, but, you know, I could get another sub, you know. So I took him to get a meatball sub. That's what he wanted. We passed this sign about flu shots for 2014. He said, "Don't those people understand it's 2015 now?" And my wife kind of tried to explain to him. They'll get around to changing their sign. You know, that's been up for a while. And he's a little too smart sometimes for his own good. We take a look back, 2014. For this church, 2014 was a good year. It's been good in many ways. We've come far from where we started as a church 35 years ago. We've seen people saved and baptized and become faithful in church. God has added new families in the church, and we're thankful for those things. We look back and rejoice at the successes that we've had in 2014. Every family has not had full successes. There have been some we have not been able to help. They've had spiritual problems. They've had battles that they faced. And some have made decisions to go the way of the world rather than to go the way of the Lord. And for those people, we know they may face all kind of hardships and difficulties if they don't come to that place of repentance and turn their life around and give it back to God and serve the Lord. They're facing hardship to face life without the Lord's blessings. God's brought us new people into the church, and He's given us young folks moving forward, graduating, going to college, getting jobs. We've come through some financial troubles of our nation and some crisis of a downturn where a lot of folks lost their job. We had 6 or 7 people in the church at one time who lost their career jobs and had to start over, had to get new jobs, had to start in something new or do something different, or finally found jobs within their career, whatever it was. We look back and are grateful for those who have helped us along the way and those who we've been able to help along the way. And we give thanks, but the past, like Moses, is dead. The past is in the history books. The past is over. And there's a new chapter with 2015 that we're going to face, and we don't know all the things that we're going to face, so sometimes we have a little trepidation, concern. God doesn't want us to fear. He wants us to face it courageously and with faith and meditating in the Word of God. Walk with God day by day. Don't worry about 2015. Just be concerned you're living for the Lord today. If you live for God today and you live for God tomorrow, He'll take care of the year before us. We're thankful for what the church has done for missions, what it's done for the teens. Sam came on staff in 2014 in January, I believe the second week or third week of January. He started receiving his paycheck. And he and Amber have been a great help to the church. I really believe God's given us the right people at the right time and the right job. And they're being successful with the youth department. We praise God for that. The Creation Museum trip was something new and something, an opportunity that was accomplished in 2014. The benevolence to help people who've been in need, the expanding of a bus route and gaining workers to work the bus route have been a blessing of new young people coming into the church. The activities the church provides for every age, our attendances, our visitation, for 35 years. We're like the movie Jeremiah Johnson. That's one of my favorite movies. The Mountain Man, Jeremiah Johnson. Robert Redford played the part. He's probably liberal as they come, but he's a good actor. Jeremiah Johnson was on the mountain. He lived up there in the cold. He had to survive by killing animals, deer and stuff. And sometimes there were no deer to kill, and he missed a shot, and the Indians got after him and beat him all up and all that sort of thing. And then he ran into his old friend. His old friend says, "Well, Pilgrim, you've come far." He said, "Seems far. Were it worth the trouble?" Trouble? What trouble? We've come far, friends. We face a little trouble along the way, but there's no need dwelling on the trouble. Those things make us strong. Those make us able. Those make us equipped. Those teach us how to survive and how to help other people to survive when they face those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 teaches us that the grace of God that we receive when we go through trials and tests and hardships is so that we can then in turn help someone else with that same grace that brought us through those trials and troubles that they face likewise. So we put the past in the history book. And now, as Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, we press toward the mark. We press toward the goal of Christ and His Word and His commands. So we took a look back. Now we take a look around where we are right now. You're here in church today. Praise God for that. First Sunday of the new year, you started out in church. That's a great thing. And many of you are as faithful as that clock back there. Just have to change your battery once in a while. We take a look around. We probably are not exactly where we had anticipation we would be. I don't mean not in church, but I mean in life. We all would, you know, like to have some old rich uncle that we didn't know die and leave us some multi-million dollars and all that sort of thing, you know. Used to be $1 million. Nowadays, that won't go very far, you know. And so we'd like to have those kind of things. But what did you have expectation for? Did you make some New Year's resolutions last year you didn't follow through with? Did you plan to take a trip you didn't get to do? Did you get a new job? Did you get a promotion in your job? Did you make a resolution to lose weight? I came here as a pastor of this church 35 years ago, and for the first 10 years, I gained 10 pounds every year for 10 years straight, sitting behind a desk where I was not working two jobs and all that sort of thing. And I've never taken it off. I lose 30, 40 pounds, but y'all don't even know that. It's like throwing a chair off to Queen Mary. You know, it's just that it's not enough to make an effect, you know, to show a difference. Yeah, I've had plenty of resolutions to lose weight, and I failed at every one of them. Did you set a goal to read the Bible through in a year, and did you do it, or did you not quite make it? Did you save some money? Well, I don't know if we've accomplished all those things we hoped to or looked forward to or expected to, but we're here. We got fed. We've had a roof over our head. We got an automobile to drive and a couple of dollars in our pocket. We kept, that's why I tell people, how you doing? Better than I deserve. I am better off than I deserve to be. God has blessed me. And God has supplied my needs. And God has provided for me. And God has been with me. And I've got more than I have to survive. And compared to much of the world, we are a rich people and a prosperous people. And we have found success. We ask ourselves the question, have we been faithful? Are we living the fruit of the Spirit? Are we walking daily with God? Are we strong and courageous? And has God prospered us and made us successful? Well, most of us would say to those things, we probably could do more. We could probably read a little more, study a little more, or pray a little more. And that's probably always going to be the case. I've gone to national pastors' meetings. Thousands of people there. Great speakers who are well known, who pastored large mega churches. And one of them will preach on prayer as the key to spiritual success and how we need to pray more and we need to fast and we need to pray and we need to pray all night sometime. That's hard to do. And you'll think, well, I need to pray more. You know, that's my problem. I need to pray more. Come home and start praying more. The next meeting you go to is being a witness. We need to win souls. We need to tell people about Christ. Sure we do. And we'll start doing that more. And then somebody else will talk about giving money to missions and how we need to give more. And so you start, you know, the truth of the matter is all those things are good. Reading our Bible, spending time in prayer, giving to missions, being a witness for Christ. And it requires us making a balance of those things in our life. There is no spiritual key to success. There's no 10 quick ways. There's no easy answer. It's a day-by-day struggle to live this life. And we recognize how much we need God in our life in order to face the things of life that we're going to have to face. This church today, the worst problem we've got is a couple of our folks have been under cancer treatments. And we've got a few folks sick. And we've got a couple of marriages that need a touch from God to repair. But you know what? That church from over there around Singapore had 60-something members of their church on that airplane that went down in the ocean. Could you imagine how the mood of the church would be today over there with all the loss that they feel from all those people? You see, your success depends on your comparisons. It depends on your expectations. Most all you know, I live in a double-wide mobile home at the end of a dirt road. And I am content with that as if it was a mansion. I don't have a mortgage. Hallelujah. I'm way more successful than homeless people. I got a roof over my head and a place to sleep and food to eat. Who wants a double-wide? Somebody's got a single-wide. Somebody doesn't have a home. Somebody that's got a big mortgage they can't make and they'd like to downsize and get out of debt. Or maybe somebody who's living in an apartment paying rent and doesn't own a home of their own. There are a lot of folks that could be happy and successful and satisfied with that. And my contentment is worth more than any amount of money could give me. Amen. I go out on the lake every once in a while in my boat and ride up and down the lake and see some of those houses on the lake that are multi-million dollar houses. And I think if I had an old rich lost uncle that died and left me that house right there, I couldn't pay the taxes and the insurance on it. When we get more, we usually raise our standard of living. And so we don't have any more than we had before. We just got more stuff. And Americans want stuff. You want stuff. Have you got a storage building? You got a room in your house that everything that you don't use all the time is put in that room? I have four storage buildings in my yard. Thank God I've got 6 acres there because I got four storage buildings out there. What do you have those for? Stuff. Got stuff in them. All of it doesn't belong to me. Most of it belongs to my wife, but some of it belongs to our kids. Some of it belongs to our kids, and you know, I build sheds off the side of the buildings and park an ATV under it and a golf cart under it and stuff like that. Well, God promised to make our way successful and prosperous if we do these things. He promised it to Joshua, and I think it's applicable to everybody. If we obey the Lord and we study His Word and we meditate in it, and we honor God with our life and we walk with God every day, He'll make our way prosperous and He'll give us success. Joshua had served an internship first. Joshua was Moses' minister, Moses' servant. He carried his bags. He stood in his way. He led the army so that Moses could pray and walk with God and go up on the mountain. And Joshua would go a little ways closer than the others, but he wouldn't go with Moses to where Moses was. He served his internship. He was faithful. And God blessed him. Now God requires a new step of faith from Joshua. Take over as the leader where Moses was. Now, friends, Israel honored and believed Moses. I mean, he was like a father to them. They knew they were dependent on him to get things from God. He interceded on their behalf to keep God from destroying them. The same way that Jesus Christ has interceded for you and me to keep God from destroying us because of our sins, Christ died to pay for our sins so that we could be forgiven and have eternal life. And the people looked to Moses in that same way. Now Joshua's got to step up as the leader. When God asks us to do something, we often enter that in faithfulness with trepidation. You remember the excuses Moses gave when God told him to go down and tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and Moses started making up all kinds of excuses. God, I can't talk plain. You know, I'm slow of tongue. Pick up that snake over there. You know, now I'm hard of hearing, God. You know, God showed him miraculously he could provide for him, take care of him. And he even got to the point where he told Moses, you don't stop giving me excuses, I'm going to give you a reason to complain, you know. And so he obeyed God. We face a lot of things. Somebody's planning on getting married. You don't think they have some trepidation? When I walked down the aisle with my wife, stood before a preacher to get married, I looked over at her and she was crying, and I thought maybe she wants to back out. You know, maybe she don't really want to do this or something. You know, why's she crying? She's crying because she was so happy. I had rescued her from the mountains of Boone, North Carolina. There's trepidation. You're going to become a boss in your job. You've been promoted. You're going to be a supervisor. And all of a sudden you realize you don't know everything you really need to know to fill that position that you've been placed in. Your first child comes along and you're a parent and you're looking at that little baby, and then you start thinking about how many millions of dollars it's going to take to raise this kid and put him through college and all that sort of thing. And you're facing some trepidation. God used the birth of our first child to help humble me to recognize I was not a fit parent to be an example to a child. And I knew it. And God humbled me that I needed Him in my life. Because if I was going to be the kind of example for children to follow, I needed Him in my life every day. And to walk with God. You face trepidations obeying God. But we're to do it courageously. We're to do it in faith. We're to do it believing. We're not to let fears stop us from obeying God. And fears stop a lot of people from witnessing to someone, speaking up for Christ, taking a class to teach kids, or working in the bus ministry, or the master club, or the junior church, or singing in the choir, or whatever it may be. One of our ladies came and joined the choir the other night. She said, "Do I have to do a trial or anything?" He said, "Are you breathing?" And she said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, you can sing." We don't have a big test for singing in the choir here. The Bible said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." It didn't say you have to have a tenor voice or an alto or a soprano or whatever. Of course, we probably need a couple more basses. Jeff's always picking on them for some reason, you know. Today we have a young man who's going to become a deacon. You have voted to approve him, and we have talked to him and his wife, Jerry and Lisa Hood. And today they face obeying God, that He is moving them to take over a role in the church that they have not filled before. And there's responsibilities that go along with that. There's obligations that go along with that. So I know there's trepidation as you face that. Before you say, "Yes, I will do it," you think it over, you pray about it, you ask God. When I felt God was dealing with me to go into ministry, I cried for 3 solid days. I could not imagine that I could be a pastor because I thought I had to be perfect. I didn't know where pastors came from. I grew up in the Methodist church. I never saw anybody become a pastor. The pastor I had, he wore a dress. One of his robes, you know. And I didn't think I could possibly be worthy to do what God would want me to do. I didn't think I could live up to it. And so I had to really do some soul searching with the Lord. And you're facing some things in 2015 that you may have to do some soul searching over, that you're going to have trepidation about, that you're going to face something that you feel is beyond your limitations and abilities. You have to face it like Joshua did, with courage. You have to seek the knowledge that you need to do the job God's called you to do. If it's a spiritual thing in the church, then you find that through the Word of God. If it's on your career job where you are, you seek all the knowledge you can for the career job that you have to equip yourself to be the best you can possibly be. That's the preparation that you make. That's the getting ready for what you're facing. But there's always that step of faith in obeying God that He requires, that when you take that step, He gives you peace. He gives you some success and blessing, and know that He is with you in what you're facing. Joshua chapter 3, and verse 1 through 5, as they got ready to go, Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore." Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." The thing to do, friends, when you're facing the unknown, is follow those who follow God. Joshua and the elders went among the people and said, "When the ark moves, you move. You keep your eyes on the ark, because you're going to be going a way that you've never gone before. You're going to be facing some things you've never faced before. And so follow those who follow the Lord. They're going to pass through the land. In this new year, you may face some things you never faced before. You may have to get out of your comfort zone to do something new that is God's will for your life. Taking a step of obedience to do something in service for God may make you get out of your comfort zone. It may require that you put extra time and effort in something. You can do more than you think you can do. I learned that in the military. When I put my feet on the yellow footprints down at Parris Island, that drill instructor yelling and screaming and hollering in my ears, I was concerned. I was 17 years old. We started running, and for 9 weeks we ran everywhere we went, carrying everything we owned. We faced the crucible. Several days without sleep, carrying everything you own for 11-mile force march. All the things that you go through in the military, your body can do more than you think it can do. I decided I wanted to better my career. I was a welder at Duke Power up at McGuire Nuclear Plant at Lake Norman. And I enrolled at York Tech in business administration at night. And I was taking 12 hours a week, going five nights a week to York Tech, taking business administration while I was working up there. By the time I got home, all I could do was clean up a little bit and go to class and get home at 11 o'clock at night. Get up the next day and go to work. Did that for 2 years. I went through summer schools both years, so it was year-round. So when the Lord dealt with me about the ministry, I knew I was going to have to go to college. I knew I was going to have to pay my own way. And I knew I was going to have to work a job and go to school. And I worked 40 hours a week and had a wife and a kid and had two more kids born while we were there. There's something in the water out there in Springfield, Missouri. I don't know what it is. All those Bible college students are having babies out there. And you say, how could you carry 18 semester hours and work 40 hours a week and carry a good grade point average? The grace of God, that's how you do it. But it can be done. And you can do whatever you have to do by God's grace and by God's help. You can work two jobs. You can better yourself. You can work and go to school. You can train for something better. You can serve in the church. You can make yourself prepared to do what God wants you to do, because God will enable you to do what He asks of you to do. God doesn't ask you to give more than you're able to give. God doesn't ask you to be more than you're able to be. Because when He asks you to be something, He will equip you to be what He asks of you. We have to trust. God has a plan for our life. He has a purpose for us in 2015. Joshua had a purpose. And God asked of him to cross Jordan and lead this nation. He had already blessed him with prosperous life, that he'd outlived all the generation only he and Caleb had survived. Many of you are sitting here today, you've accomplished things that other people would like to have accomplished, but they haven't because they didn't pay the price that you've paid. They didn't stay in church. They didn't work the job. They didn't train themselves. They didn't go to school. They didn't do whatever it took to pursue the purpose in life that God has for you. The power of God makes the difference in what you're able to do and what God asks of you to do. God has a plan for you. And what He wants from us is just pursuit. Take the step of faith to do what He asks of us to do. Trust Him that He will bless us and provide for us. You say, well, that's great for Joshua as the leader of the nation of Israel and for a pastor or a missionary, but what about me? Peter wrote to the average people in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through 15, to the scattered nation. He said, you're a priesthood of believers. You've been chosen by God to serve Him. You're a holy people. You're a special treasure unto God. You're to show forth His praises by your life. And you're to live this life like strangers and pilgrims, passing through this life, walking with God, not in the flesh. Have an honest testimony in the world you live in. Doing what's right, submitting yourself to God and to the ordinances and laws of the government over you. And God will use you to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Who are foolish men? Well, Psalm said the fool has said in his heart there is no God. And there's a lot of people that try to live like atheists and agnostics. You and I can show them by the transformation of our own life from what we were before we were saved to what we become as we walk with God, that Christianity is real. And they cannot deny what God has done in us and through us. 2015, don't fear. Face it daily with God. Be faithful in the Word. And God will make your way prosperous. And God will give you success. Let's stand together, please. Don't fear what may not happen. Don't even have to fear what will happen. If God be for you, who can be against you? Father, bless this invitation time, we pray, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.